Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. We got Michael Irvin, joining us now on the Dial Pad guest line, 95.7 The Game, NFL insider and three-time Super Bowl champion, Michael Irvin. Michael is brought to you by Porsche Walnut Creek, a Stead automotive dealer. Michael, the Patriots lose last night. And the 49ers are the only undefeated team in football. Is this right now the favorite to win the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers, or is it still way too early?
Well, it's still early in that sense because it really is early. We're just halfway through the season. But what I talked to D about last week, you saw last night. When he asked me, because last week Damon asked me about, he says, the two undefeated teams, which team will you take if they played each other? And I gave it to New England Patriots because I said, that's Tom Brady, who has done it a million times and has always been right there. I said, but this is what I said to him. I said, but San Francisco have the tools to beat them. Now, because they can rush the passer, they can disrupt Tom Brady, and they can take the air out of the ball by running the football. That's exactly what Baltimore did last night. That's exactly. They got to Tom Brady. They took the air out of the ball by running the football. And what happened also was going to happen also that I didn't bring up, I should have brought up, is that your quarterback's going to have to make a few plays. And last night it was fourth and four, a fourth down, you know, when New England was coming back. Hey, Lamar Jackson got that first down. He made those few plays. I saw also last Thursday, I saw growth in Jimmy Garoppolo in that area. Right at the end of the game, and you guys remember, at the end of the game, Garoppolo was standing in the pocket, and he threw he threw a square in to Samuel. I think it was Deebo Samuel that he missed.
Mm-hmm.
And the next play, because they were barreling down the gun to hit him, and he kind of flinched. It's so tight, it's so small and minute. He flinched the first time, and he threw that ball a little farther on the inside. Then they came back the next play on the other side. It was the same kind of play, and it was this time to Emmanuel Sanders, and he stood in that pocket. Emmanuel Sanders ran a seven stop. That's to the corner and kind of stopped like he's coming back inside. And he stood in that pocket, that tenth, bitty, itchy, witchy, mitchy, mitchy more, and he delivered that pass, and he made that play. And I said, wow, that was growth and play to play, because now he knows if I stand in the pocket and take the hit, I will survive. Now the fear of that is gone, and that right there can make the difference if these two ever meet. If San Francisco and New England ever meet. That showed me Gronk could do it if he had to in that situation. And you're going to have to make a play from the quarterback to beat New England.
If you have to pick your ideal Super Bowl based on your own entertainment value, would you rather have Brady and Garoppolo or say something more along the lines of Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson? What would you rather watch for your own enjoyment?
Oh, my God. My enjoyment is the media, which is what I do now, and you're asking which would be a bigger Super Bowl.
Oh no, a more God. Fun Super Bowl for you to watch, just you as a fan.
Oh, just for me as a fan to watch. The most watched Super Bowl would be the 49ers in San Francisco because of Brady Groppin and the New England connection. That's fine. That's an interesting word because, you know, to be honest, I'm going to take it personally here because I never wanted my quarterbacks to run. This quarterback running thing is a whole new thing. I used to tell, hey, I was so happy Troy would run because the way I saw it is every time you use your legs, you're taking food off my kid's table. That's not your job. You get, drop back 3, 5, 7 steps, and you let that damn ball go. And let me do my job so I can put some food on my kids' table. You see what I mean? I like the traditional position of the quarterback. That's why I probably lean towards the more traditional quarterback, which is Brady and Garoppolo, over Lamar and Russell, because they take Lamar and Russell takes me out of the game with them damn legs.
No doubt, and we saw it on display last night with Lamar Jackson, a team that the 49ers are going to play here before too long. If you're Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator of the 49ers, how much did you get shook up last night by watching the way Baltimore goes about attacking you with the run?
Well, what do you mean?
Just the quarterback's ability to give it, run it. They were running some option to the short side of the field. Just the kind of running attack you don't see from a lot of other teams.
Well, here are two things. That now, and you see where you went? You went to, okay, it's from a defense coordinator standpoint. The job is now stopping. Oh, my God, I'm going crazy. No, as a team, what I would be looking more at is Mike Shanahan. I'm coming to Cal and say, listen, we have to score early on this bunch. We have to try to take out that comfort of their run game and make them live in the other area where they're less comfortable. We got to take away their strength and make them work in the other areas. So I'm not just going to put all the pressure on the defensive coordinator. I got to come over and say, listen, offense, we have to produce something right now. Because we got to try to go up. We got to try to go up and make them have to throw the ball, and they can't sit and just run the ball. They controlled that clock. That first drive took 7 minutes, seven, 8 minutes. But then New England got the ball 3 and out. Then they took another 7, 8 minutes. You know, I think they went 4 or 5 plays the next play. So I have to get them out of that comfort zone. As long as I leave them in that comfort zone right there, I'm in trouble.
Michael, how much better does Emmanuel Sanders make the 49ers?
Yeah, he makes them better. He makes them better, guys. He gives you that guy that and he showed up right then. Even though that play on when Gronk missed Samuel wasn't really on Samuel because Samuel was there. But for Emmanuel to come in and make that catch. And you saw that now. There were like 4 or 5 dudes around him too now. It was like Gronk stood right in the gun, facing a gun with a bullet bearing down at him. And he threw it. He faced a bullet on the end that he took the hit. And there were 4 or 5 dudes all around Emmanuel Sanders. I think they were running like a cover two. That's our 2D safety. And he was running because the weak areas in a cover two are the corner routes. So he was running to fake it to the corner and then hook him back up in that area. And he got that down. And Emmanuel Sanders went and made that play. Teammates start saying, oh, my God. And what you want is the teammates to start saying, oh, we got a guy now. As long as we got that guy, we got a shot at making a play. And that's what Emmanuel Sanders gives you because he's done it so long and the other guys haven't done it so long. And he's done it on a major stage and the other guys haven't. So he's a big get for San Francisco. And I've been saying it. And that's why I thought it was a better get than even what Mohamed Sanu will mean to the New England Patriots, because Sanu can't bring that. Sanu can't go over there and say, hey, I'm bringing experience to give you guys something you haven't had. They already have that. You know, so Emmanuel Sanders was a big get.
Was there a game over the weekend that surprised you to such an extent that it stuck with you, even if it wasn't necessarily a game between either playoff contenders or teams that you're particularly interested in?
Well, I'm interested in all of them, but I'll tell you the game that called, that they said, oh, my God, what the hell is going on here? It's the Chargers and Packer game.
Mm.
Like, oh, my God, what the hell is going on here? And then it took it a little personal. I went with the Chargers this year. And then, so now I got kind of upset. I took it personally. I said, I'm sick of this mess. What's up with this man? Chargers do this every year. They start out slow, then right around week 8, they start coming on like gangbusters. And we say, oh, my God, boy, you got to watch out for the Chargers. You got to watch out for the Chargers. Then they'll fizzle out in the end. And then next year, where everybody will pick them and say, boy, the Chargers going to be ready this year. I'm so sick of this cyclical situation we've been in with the Chargers. But, boy, what a game they played last night. They shut down Aaron Rodgers. I got to give them that. If they can bring that every week, they'll be where they're trying to be. But they just can't bring that every week for some reason.
A little bit of Jekyll and Hyde among teams in the NFL. So many teams, it's tough to know who to rely on, including the team playing tonight, Michael. Your former team, Dallas Cowboys. Do you see them going to New York and handling business, or is this a spot where they may find a little hiccup?
I'm in New York tonight. I landed here earlier today because I got to do inside the NFL tomorrow. Of course, Jerry and them know, so they called and said, are you coming by? So I'm going to get ready right now and head over towards that game and sit with Jerry and them and try to get that assessment, you know, and see why does this team have ups and downs like they have it. Like, why is it that when they play a team with their back against the wall and they have to play, they play well. But then sometimes when they're in a place where they're in first place and they don't feel their backs against the wall, they don't play well. That's the issue with the Dallas Cowboys. And they have to now that they're getting healthy on the offensive line. And I think getting deep back in football form, then it'll make a difference. And I thought last week was the first game I saw Zeke look like Zeke. Ezekiel Elliott looked like Ezekiel Elliott. Now you add the passing back to that, that Dak has improved in, and maybe got a chance. But it has to be something that we see steady. Listen, the rest of this season, their schedule is incredibly rough. They're going to have to be playing at all cylinders. And that Jet game that they lost may very well come back and bite them.
Michael, if you're sitting with Jerry Jones in a suite, is that kind of the best place to watch a game? I mean, how cool is that suite? What's he got? What's in the bar? What kind of food's he going to serve? Just give us a little insight on that, because it sounds like a fun place to be.
Anyway, it's Jerry Jones. And Jerry, just a mere fact, that building he built down there as a stadium has been up for over a decade now, and it's still the wonder that everybody is calling it what it is. You know, they're going to see it, and everybody's still trying to use that as a measuring stick in building their stadium. It tells you how opulent he is. He does everything at a certain level, and he's been incredible doing it at a certain level. So, yeah, it's fun. You get all the extras and amenities and all of those things at a high level. But I love sitting with him because the way we talk football, certain things, the simple things, like even when we were sitting and trying to, we had a quarterback when Dak Prescott was a rookie. I got to sit with him his first start in New Orleans, in L.A., and I said to Jerry then, I said, now here, we're watching this game. And I said, let me tell you what to watch. He's talking about the pass that Dak Prescott made to Dez Bryant. I said, it's not the study. That's not what you should be studying. I said, look at the sideline. Look at the sideline. When he made that pass, every player was up on that sideline because Dak Prescott gives them hope right now. I told him, we don't need to bring in another backup, because that's going to take away their hope. Right now they need hope, and Dak Prescott gives them that. It's not just a pass. It's the way the team feels about that certain player. You just asked me. That's the same thing that you'll start getting with an Emmanuel Sanders. If he makes those kind of plays, teams start saying, oh, that's our guy. We believe in him. You need belief more than anything you need in the NFL.
And conversely, it looks like all the wheels are off of the Cleveland Browns bandwagon. When you watch them, do you see a team that no longer believes in each other or the people above them? Or do you still see a team that could get it together between now and the end of the year?
Getting it together means getting it together in a good spot and going to make a run. I don't see that happening right now. I don't see that happening. I see a team that has some talent and has some expectations, but are realizing their talent and expectation amounts to nothing if you can't put it all together on a football field, and searching for answers to who can help us get it together on the football field. And you either talk about it, you're going to want to be about it, but who can actually help you get it done is another story. So I do see a team that's a little rudderless without direction.
When you have a team that's gone through a half a season and you're still seeing that, how often in your experience have you seen them straighten themselves out as opposed to how many times you've seen them just throw up their arms and go, this is lost and we're going to be 3-13?
Well, you know, they'll continue to play, and here it is. We just talked about this. They'll continue to play, but they got to be careful not to fall into the same thing that we just talked about that the Chargers fall into, you know. So if they even go and get a good run in towards the end of the season, do they start saying, oh, no, look at how we finished the season. Now we're ready, and then you go through the same thing again at the start of a season, and then you finish the season and with the run again. So you have to be careful with that. Right now, for them to come out of this, it's not just that they're not winning like they thought they were winning. They have guys that are performing like they thought they would perform. We know Odell just played football. We know his talent. We know his skill set. But now he's not putting up the numbers that he wants to put up. Now, who do you think Odell's blaming that on? Quietly, even if he's not saying anything to anybody else, he's not blaming that on Odell. He's looking around at the people that is orchestrating everything and saying, "Wow, this isn't working. You know, this isn't working." Baker Mayfield, if it ain't working, Baker Mayfield ain't gonna blame Baker Mayfield. He'll say that, but he's going to look around at the people that are orchestrating everything and say, "Okay, what we got here?" So yeah. You got to be very careful with this situation that's going on in Cleveland right now.
Additionally, you see the team has waived Jermaine Whitehead after a profanity-laced tirade on Twitter. What would be your advice, Michael, to current players about social media? Stay off it altogether? Just don't reply? How would you approach it if you were playing in today's game?
Dude, they can't do that. They can't do that if they gave them a $10 million bonus. They can't do it. You know, So you can't even go into a place that's impossible. We can't fathom that because we're not in this generation. We grew up with newspapers and getting information from that. They grew up waking up, going right on that social media, getting whatever information they want to get off that social media. Whole different world. So you can't even ask them to get off of it. You just got to make sure you try to make them know the consequences of what's going on and bring up situations like the situation you just brought up and say, let's not be this person. Let's not be this guy. Let's not be this person right here. Let's not do this. Let's not do that. But to think you're going to get them to stop altogether, that's just flat out impossible.
Hey, Michael, before we let you go, we're having a little fun earlier, and we wanted to know if you've ever been to Idaho. Because I got you as never being to Idaho. These guys think you've been to Idaho.
Man, I don't even.
The reason I'm asking is because the average American's only been to 8 states, apparently. So it sounds like you've never been to Idaho.
I've been to Idaho, which is interesting. No, but I don't think I've been to Idaho. Not at all. No, if I've been to Idaho, my plane got diverted through Idaho, and I just sat there for a moment on a runway and moved. It was never a destination, you know. It was just never a destination. I wouldn't mind going through Idaho just to see if they got some brothers up there.
Put you down for accidental Idaho, if at all.
Yeah, I got 3 of them up there.
I don't know, but no, it's not a place that I should, you know. As soon as the season over, I'm going to take a break in Idaho.
There it is.
No, that's the spot.
All right, man. Hey, listen, have fun with Jerry Jones tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. And Damon and the boys will be back next week for you.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it,
man.
Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Never been to Idaho, Ray. You lost that bet.
I didn't make a bet.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay, I did.
Yeah. Remember you said you probably had been? Or was that my imagination? Hey, Ray, it's a Monster Monday brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.